is Messianic Perspectives, the daily Bible teaching program sponsored by CJF Ministries in San Antonio, Texas. You can visit us online at cjfm.org. This is Liz Aiello. Today our speaker is the late Dr. Charles Helfe, a Jewish believer who taught the Bible for almost half a century before his homegoing in 2000. The subject of the study today is Christ in the Tabernacle. God gave very specific instructions for the building of the wilderness tabernacle, and almost every part of it is a type or symbol of the coming Messiah. That's what Dr. Helfe is talking about in this interesting study on Christ in the Tabernacle. Stay tuned, and I'll be back later with information about a special offer. But first, here's our Bible teacher for today, Dr. Charles Helfe.
We greet you once again in the highest name under heaven, the name which is above every name, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, which in the Hebrew means Jesus the Christ. Now today we're concluding our present series of studies on Christ in the Tabernacle. I've been speaking to you on this subject now for the past two broadcasts, and in these messages I've tried to show you how the tabernacle in the wilderness pictures Christ in every detail. Now don't let anyone tell you that the tabernacle represents the church. That's a common teaching, but it's not true. The tabernacle is not a type of the church. The tabernacle is a type of Christ. Study all of the items of the tabernacle. Study all of the religious services of the tabernacle, and you'll find that the theme of the tabernacle is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's turn once again to Exodus, the 25th chapter, where we have God's instructions to Moses for the building of the tabernacle. Beginning at verse 1 of Exodus chapter 25, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Now, beloved, that's free will giving, nothing about tithing. And then Moses goes on and tells the Israelites what their offering should consist of. Now, I want you to notice how the tabernacle was financed. It's very interesting. The cost of the tabernacle was between $2 and $3 million, and it was all financed through the freewill offerings of God's people. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus, the 36th chapter, and I want you to notice verse 3. Exodus, the 36th chapter, verse 3. It says, "And they brought unto him," that's Moses, "freewill offerings every morning." And they brought unto Moses freewill offerings every morning. And if you'll read the rest of Exodus, the 36th chapter, you'll find that the Jews gave so generously for the building of the tabernacle that they had an offering that was too much. They couldn't use it all. Beloved, wouldn't it be wonderful if God's people gave that way today? Now let's get this truth. The tabernacle was financed through the freewill offerings of God's people, and that's how God wants us to give today. Freely, willingly, and cheerfully. Give until it hurts, and then give until it feels good. Beloved, the Jews didn't raise money for the tabernacle through tea parties or pie suppers, chicken suppers, or bingo. The Jews didn't go out and pose as beggars before the world and say, "We need money to build the tabernacle." Beloved, it was all a freewill offering, and that's how God wants us to give today. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Let me say this, beloved. No one has any right to tell you how much to give or where you should give. That's between you and the Lord. All that God asks is that we give freely and cheerfully because we love the Lord. And that's how the tabernacle was financed, not through tithing or through pledges or money-raising gimmicks, but on the freewill offering basis. Now I want to show you three more things about the tabernacle from which we can learn some great spiritual truths. In the next place, we find that the tabernacle was where the sacrifice was made so that the people could have an atonement for their sins. God has always required a blood offering to atone for sin. It was so in the case of Adam and Eve. It was also true at the time of the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 11, God said to the Jews, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, as I mentioned on our last program, this was one of the scriptures that the Lord used to bring me to the Messiah when I was a young Jewish boy, 15 years of age. God said, it's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so on the Day of Atonement, the Jewish high priest would go to the east end of the tabernacle, which was the courtyard, and offer the blood sacrifice for himself and for the sins of the people. And then he would go into the Holy of Holies with the blood of that sacrifice and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And when the people saw the high priest return from the Holy of Holies, they knew that the sacrifice had been made and that it was accepted by God. My, what a picture of Calvary! The animal that was slain had given all of its blood so that the people could have an atonement for their sins. And beloved, Christ gave every drop of blood on Calvary so that we could have eternal redemption. Now let's get the picture. See the high priest as he slashes the jugular vein of that animal that makes the sacrifice. See the animal as it falls and bleeds and dies. And after beholding its dying agonies, see the high priest as he takes the blood and sprinkles it on the mercy seat for an atonement for Israel's sins. Now, beloved, all of this typifies the death of Christ on Calvary's cross. He was lifted up on Calvary, bleeding from head, from hands, and feet. Think of Christ as he dies on the cross to pay the price for our redemption. No one has ever suffered like the blessed Son of God. The Roman soldiers ran a spear through his side, and the blood and the water gushed forth. Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross for 6 long hours. And during those 6 hours, he took all of our sins, all of our judgment, all of our punishment, all of our guilt, and all of our shame. He took everything that we deserved and bore it all for us. As the song says, Jesus paid it all. Jesus didn't pay a part, but Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let me say this. The nearest thing to the heart of God is Calvary, where Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for your sins and mine. If Christ had not died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for our sins, we would all be lost today. Now, in the next place, we find that the tabernacle was the place where the Levites, the priestly family, was fed. In Leviticus, the 6th chapter, verse 16, it says, and the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of the congregation they shall eat it. Now this tells us that the priestly family was fed at the tabernacle. Here we have another remarkable type of Christ. Now keep in mind that the tabernacle was God's dwelling place among the children of Israel. That's what the word tabernacle means. It means dwelling place. Now, Christ is our tabernacle today. He's our dwelling place. He came down from heaven to dwell among us. Now, let's get this contrast. The Jewish priests were fed at the tabernacle, and we feed upon Christ, who is our tabernacle. Incidentally, all born-again believers today are priests. That's what the Bible tells us in Revelation, the 1st chapter, verses 5 and 6. It tells us that God has made us kings and priests. And in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, it says that we're a royal priesthood. Now, a priest is one who has access to God. And the day that Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn asunder, indicating that we can now come directly into God's presence on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Think of it. We now have the same access to God that Jesus Christ has with the Father. Beloved, isn't it wonderful to think that we're priests of God? The Jewish priests had full access to the tabernacle, and as believer priests, we have full access to our Heavenly Father and to Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Let me ask you, beloved, are you feasting on Jesus Christ today? Remember, he's the bread of life, and he said in John, the 6th chapter, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. He didn't say, I'm the bread that was baked in a baker shop somewhere. He said, I'm the living bread. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only our salvation, but he's our spiritual food. He's our daily bread. He's our satisfying portion. And the most important thing in your life and mine is to feast on the Lord and enjoy communion with him. You see, beloved, God has literally filled his word with pictures and types of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is perfectly satisfied with his Son, and he becomes perfectly satisfied with every person who receives his Son. And so before I close, let me ask you the most important question in all the world. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you really know him? Can you look up and say, I know that I'm his and that he is mine? If not, let me urge you to put your trust in this wonderful Savior, because he's the only way to God. There's no other way. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner because your word says so, but I believe that you died for my sins, and ask him to come into your heart and life, and this very moment he'll save you by his grace, and you can rejoice with him forevermore. Oh, it's been so good to bring you this series of messages on Christ in the tabernacle, and I trust that they've all been a blessing to your heart.
Thank you, Dr. Helf. And thank you, listening friends, for joining us here on the program today. It's always good to have you with us. We've been listening to Dr. Charles Helf, our Bible teacher, here on Messianic Perspectives. If you appreciated today's presentation on Christ in the Tabernacle, you'll be glad to know that this entire series has been placed on one convenient CD. It's available for your gift of just $6 or more to help us keep this program on your station. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick begins our series on Daniel's Image, Key to Things to Come, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.